This series this month, I'm ministering on the topic, Fearless, Finding Your Freedom in God. Now, next Sunday morning, I'll be speaking on finding your freedom from sexual sins. You want to make sure that you're here next Sunday. I'll be saying some things that really need to be said, perhaps some things that you may have a difficult time discussing in your home or your marriage or among your family. But going to deal with this topic because this is an epidemic in our culture, in our era. Okay, and so we want to make sure that we have the Word of God. If you are among those who are dealing with things like sexual addiction, if you're dealing with a secret pornography addiction, things you are someone that you love, if you or someone that you love are among those who are really confused right now about sexual identity, which is really the epidemic right now that's attacking our young people. Okay, we're going to talk about that next week. You're going to finally hear from the pulpit exactly what the Word has to say about homosexuality and exactly the sin of same-sex attraction and things like that and what we can pray and how we can battle that with the Word of God. Amen, everybody. Make sure that you're here next Sunday. Today, our message today is centered on a somewhat of an abstract spiritual concept that I'm asking everyone to really lean in today and listen to the Word of God. I'm going to take my time this morning because we're dealing with something that's so vital. We're going to be finding our freedom today from generational trends and sins, okay? Ancestral sins, generational traits, things that are affecting our lives, okay? Everybody in here has got something that you inherited or picked up along the way or that's passed down, something to juggle. In this series, when we mapped out the series, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit to talk about this issue. You've probably heard this issue referred to as generational curses in your life. I'm going to talk to us about that this morning. And so it's going to enable us to really lean in and deal with and think about the influence of our heritage. Okay? So I'm going to pray. You guys stretch your hands toward me for a little prayer, and we'll get involved in the Word of God. Don't you love the Word of God? Amen. Father, I just love you. I thank you for the great privilege that I have this morning to share your word with these precious families, Father. Today I yield to you. I pray that you help me, Lord, to be an inspiration. Let your word come through my lips, Lord, like the pen of a writer writing your word on our hearts today. And I just thank you in advance for lives changed and freedom, final freedom to come to precious families from your word today. In Jesus' name we pray together. And if you love him, come on, say a good amen. God bless you today. Every one of us, every person has to deal with the issues, the behaviors, the habits of our upbringing. And sometimes well-meaning, good-hearted people have to spend years trying to get over and resolve ancestral sins, family traits, habits that have been passed down from generation to generation. If you're like most people this morning, there are probably patterns and vulnerabilities in your life that you struggle with. And they stem from examples that were set for you. They stem from words that were spoken over you, tragedies that have happened to you, influences that have shaped the way that you think, the way you respond to various temptations, and the way that you react and respond to other people. Now, let me begin this morning with something so important. And let me be very, very clear. It's important that we confront and deal with this issue so that you can actively take your place in freedom as a new creation in Jesus Christ. Thank God. However, to confront generational influences does not mean and never means to blame your problems on the sins of your parents or your grandparents or anyone else in your lineage. It's not their fault. It's your responsibility. Okay? In fact, one of the reasons it's so tough for many people to finally get over generational sin is because we passively approach these types of sins and we make excuses for them. We might claim something like, I must have to deal with this forever because it was how I was raised. We might even claim something like this. We've said these kinds of things. We might claim it like this. We might say, I'll have to deal with this forever because it runs in my family. Let's be clear this morning. It may very well run in your family, but you don't have to live with it one more day. You don't have to live with it for one more day if you're ready to be free from it. If you're eager for God to cleanse you from it. If you're determined to be the finish line. If you're determined to stand and be the wall that says it ends right here today. No one else in my family is going through this ever again. If that's your level of resolve and your level of determination this morning, there's no reason why you can't start a brand new generational trend, a trend of joy, a trend of righteousness, a trend that begins right now, fresh and new for your life, the remainder of your days, and the people who are coming after you. It can start fresh and brand new right now. Come on, how many of y'all believe that this morning? But here's the truth. Look at this on your screen, this statement. We're going to make some statements today to really look at and glean to. Unless we make real effort to do otherwise, we will repeat the habits, the customs, and the traditions passed on in our families for generations. In other words, this morning, you need to do the effort and do the hard work of finally getting over it. Amen. Can y'all receive that today? So what kind of things are we talking about? Well, here are some examples of generational iniquities. You may deal with these. You may deal with other types of iniquities and generational trends. These are generational cycles that can form connections in your behaviors to links with the past. Cycles of temperaments, cycles of abuse, addiction, anger, cycles of divorce, cycles of frustration and discontentment, cycles in families of sometimes of dysfunction. Really, any negative behavior that collides with the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life could have been planted in you by influences from the past. Particularly for those people this morning who come from broken families, from dysfunctional families, or families with a history of involvement in the cult or the occult. Okay? Your life can even be affected by personal vows, internal oaths, and verbal curses that you have believed and that you have embraced because at some point it was said either in your hearing over a long period of time, or it was said over and over over your life, or it was said to you intentionally or even accidentally so that it became your way of thinking. These are the kinds of words and the kinds of strongholds that must be rejected. They must be destroyed, pulled down, so that you can finally be free from the fear of passing that same destructive battle on that you've been having to face most of your life. You got to pull it down. Somebody say, pull it down. I met a precious woman one time. She came to church and she was very, very angry all the time. She was always critical of everything and she questioned everything that went on in the life of the church. She was always very hard and coarse. She was always negative, always doubtful about everything. Her behavior began to negatively affect the church to the point when people would begin to come to me complaining about her attitude. Y'all know anybody like this? Eventually, I came to her and I asked to speak to her about this issue. And here's what she said. Y'all ready for this? She said, Pastor, I don't like you. I don't like this church. And the only reason I even come here is because I am so lonely that church is the only place I ever have any interaction at all with other people. That's what she told me. And I knew that there was a deeper problem. Amen. So when I tried to find out the root cause of all of her pain, I learned that her father's influence was her problem. See, all her life, her dad berated pastors and tore them down and criticized churches. He would tell her over and over that churches are just full of hypocrites. And he would talk bad about pastors in her hearing all the time. I found out that her problems really didn't have anything to do with me or with the church, but that her mind was attached to a verbal oath that linked directly to her father's bad attitude concerning all pastors and churches. Are y'all following me, guys? All right. So the longer that we talked, the more this problem got unpacked for me. It turns out that her dad's family had had a bad experience with the church. And all her dad ever heard growing up was criticism about pastors and churches from his dad. It was a destructive cycle that began in this woman's grandfather, and it was passed down to her father and eventually passed down to her. See, this is the way generational trends and cycles and ancestral sins weave their way into your life. But if you're dealing with any of these types of issues in any form, church, hear me, the Word of God, the power of the living God, can break those final links of bondage that have been chained to you and chained and linking you to the past for way too long. How many can say with me, God can do it? God can do it. Let's look at two ways that these generational sins are passed down to you. There are two primary ways. The first way is environmentally. These types of behaviors and sins are passed down environmentally. What do I mean by that? I mean it's the environment we were raised in that's the biggest contributor to your development. It's the kind of learning that is more caught than taught. In other words, these negative trends and these issues and these attachments, we watch and listen and pick up on them. Nobody has to sit you down and treat you how to be ugly. You learn that from somebody. Amen. Your environment, okay? And the enemy will wedge those ideas into your thinking, into your life. In other words, people in your life from your past, their actions have spoken louder than their words. So when I say environmentally this morning, I mean the friends you grew up with, the neighbors that you played with, the church you attended, the words and the actions and the behaviors of those that you observed, like your parents, your grandparents, or any other authority figures in your life. For example, this morning, if you were raised in a home where somebody was an alcoholic, that means that you may be more vulnerable to justify drinking in your life. You may be more apt to have to learn to rely upon drinking alcohol. Let me be clear about something. Just because someone you loved was a drinker does not mean that you've got to squander your life away struggling with that same drinking issue. Just because you hung out with somebody or even in your home where pornography was left laying around the house does not mean that you've got to live your life bound by lust. And your mind does not have to be controlled by sinful passions. Come on, somebody say a good amen right there. Just because your dad or your mom disciplined you way too harshly does not mean that you've got to take your anger and your frustration out on your kids the way they did you. Just because mom and dad were poor and they didn't have the tools in place to pass down knowledge and information to responsibly equip you concerning finances, that does not mean that you've got to live with a poverty stronghold controlling your life. When God wants you to overcome those issues, why? So you and your offspring and the following generations can finally get over it and be blessed. It can change. Somebody say it can change. We all cling to our upbringing because we desperately want to be validated by the idea that we have great innate value and that we were raised the right way. But it's a tough realization, church, that there are probably some things and there are probably some ways when mom and dad and grandmom and granddad did not get it right. But if you're going to be free from any environmental stronghold this morning that have linked up to you so that they aren't passed down to your next generation, you may have to square with the idea that in some areas, the people who influence you need to just serve you as an example of ways not to be. That's a good step in getting over some things. You have to really think about their level of influence over you. Sometimes they're not a way to be, but a way not to be. Amen. So let's get practical about this. The second way these generational trends and sins are passed down. Number one was environmentally, and the second way is spiritually. There are spiritual implications to how behaviors are passed down to us. God sends blessings into the next generation when we are obedient, but when we are not obedient, there are consequences to the next generation. Everybody say consequences. That's the reason why your offspring will be one way or the other based on your level of obedience and your walk with Christ. It's the reason why you deal with some issues in your life because of the obedience or disobedience of the people that came before you. Look at Jeremiah 32, 17 and 18, and this shows us the principle. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Verse 18 says this, you show love to thousands, but bring punishment for the parents' sins into the laps of their children after them. Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty. In other words, this morning, church, both blessings and iniquities are passed down to generations. So as we're trained on this today, let's take it from a positive approach and let's take it from a two perspective approach, both from an Old Testament and a New Testament perspective. And answering this question, how can I be free? How can I pass down a heritage of blessings instead of problems? Don't you want to know that today? There's really just a couple of steps and it's very practical. Number one, how can you pass down a heritage of blessing? Recognize and repent of current and past sins. Can y'all see that? Recognize and acknowledge current and past sins. They set the example for this in the Old Testament, the people of God. Look what Nehemiah said in chapter 9 as an example this morning. Verse number 2 says, those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. He said in chapter 1 and verse 6, and here's an example of his prayer. Look what he said. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. Look what he did. I confess the sins. We Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Me and my family. Make sure we understand a vital point here this morning. All of us, we all need to repent and confess the sin in our life. You guys realize that, don't you, this morning? Oh, you need to repent and confess the sin every time you need to. Amen. But the Bible is clear that sometimes there is a corporate involvement of sin in communities as well as in families that needs to be acknowledged and confessed as well. See, in order for the freedom to come into the family or the community, sometimes you need to deal with the corporate involvement of sin. And it's spiritually beneficial for someone to finally step up and speak up in repentance for any sinful heritage that's being passed down from generation to generation. My question to you this morning is this. Are you going to be that person that can finally square up with the reality that there may be some issues in our family being passed down and then get with God on that thing and say, Lord, I repent. I confess. I know that it's not right and I want it to end with me this morning. Notice what Jeremiah said in chapter 14 and verse 20. He gave another example. He said, we acknowledge our wickedness, Lord. And the guilt of our ancestors, we have indeed sinned against you. Now, before you think I'm teaching you to do something crazy, let me go ahead and give you the understanding of the benefits of this type of prayer. See, confessing the sins of the past does nothing spiritually for those who have gone on before you. In fact, for them, what's done is done. But acknowledging and confessing ancestral sins is for you, not for them. It enables you to finally begin to deal with the fact that there may be some things from my past that are planted deeply into our lives, some behaviors, some strongholds that are inherited or learned from those who have influence over us. And God will remove those trends. He'll remove that guilt from your life and from your family and give you and your lineage a brand new beginning. Thank God. You may say something like this, Father, I realize that these struggles I've been going through my whole life and in my family have been going on for generations for a long time. But today I ask your forgiveness and I trust you to let it stop right here. Thank you for protecting my kids and my grandkids from this generational sin and for giving them the future that your word says that you've got planned out for them. Amen. And receive it this morning. Thank God, thank God. The other way that ancestral sins and generational iniquities are passed down and that you can deal with it this morning is to do this. Number two, you can reject curses and strongholds. You can reject curses and strongholds. Now let's define a curse. Now I realize this is Halloween season and we've got people in masks and clowns and people who are playing games with the occult and things like that right now. Christians doing things right now that you would not do any other time of the year, but it's okay now because it's fear month. Sorry, that's too preachy this morning. I can tell you that right now. Engaging in garbage right now, eliciting occult and fear and inviting garbage into your life and your family. Don't be surprised if 20 years from now, you're still talking about how fearful you are of everything. Sometimes I preach and say stuff and I got to smile afterwards. See, I'll know I'm in a good heart. Amen. You got to reject curses and strongholds. But let's define what a curse really is. Because a curse really isn't a little witch with a black hat on throwing something in the cauldron. Yeah, those things happen. You better believe it. But they don't have to affect you if you're a believer. A curse, look at the definition. It's a blasphemous pronouncement. It's an oath. It's a swearing intended to harm a person. That's all a curse really is. Okay? These are destructive words that have very, very little effect on you unless you believe it. That's why I'm training this month in every one of these messages to confront and deal with the lies about you and your family that contradict the word of God about you. Because that's exactly how strongholds take place in our life. We begin to believe a lie that is contradictory to the word of God about you. The training this morning is simple. Reject that curse and that oath and that negative thing that was spoken over your life. Reject that stronghold. Pull it down and use your spiritual weapons to demolish the stronghold. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Says this, and you guys know this. It says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Praise God, praise God. This is an issue right here where I'm going to challenge some men and women of God today to stand up and fight for the heritage of your family. And you can't fight it by trying to make up your mind to do better because you can't do better without divine power from the mighty God. Come on, somebody. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and collide with your spirit to enable you to finally overcome everything that's been bothering you, holding you down, you and your family, for generations to generations. You can't be taught how to defeat some things. I've mentioned this Wednesday night in our life group, and it's so important. You can't train yourself to win spiritual battles. There's not a head knowledge that exists that's going to get you over fighting something that's happening to you because it's happening in the spirit. You cannot fight spiritual battles with physical weapons. You'll spin your wheels trying over and over and over to be better. You can get up every day and set your feet on the floor and say, today I'm going to try harder, I'm going to be better. And by that night, you'll still be caught up in the same destructive behavior that you've been in for years. Why? Because it's not up to you, it's up to you only to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit and let Jesus' blood do what he meant for it to do in your life. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So if you're finally going to break that generational trend in your life, you're going to have to surrender and deal with it and confess it and say, Lord, I realize that it's there. I acknowledge the fact that there are some things about my life and about my upbringing that were not right. I acknowledge and confess those things right now. I lay it in the lap of the Lord. And now I trust you, God, to fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, I put on the full armor of God so that I can stand against the wiles of the enemy. Church, you've got to put on the spiritual armor and fight the battle in the spirit. Use your weapons and demolish those strongholds. Reject that thing. Pull it down. Verse 5 says it this way. It says, we demolish arguments. I like that one right there. What does it mean? Well, stop arguing with the enemy. I'll tell you this too. You may have to stop arguing with some people. Arguing is a huge stronghold. Useless debates and arguing over useless trash that don't even matter. One of the great tools of the Holy Spirit in your life, and I talked about this Wednesday night as well, is a spiritual maturity that enables you to be able to separate what matters from what doesn't matter. A lot of your strongholds that are keeping you in the same place for far too long are simply based in the simple fact that you don't know how to tell what's important and what's not important. When you let the Holy Spirit grow you up in the Word of God and the power of God, you'll have a maturity where the things that used to bother you, you'll brush them off. They won't bother you anymore. Because the enemy will have you spinning your wheels and he'll have you wasting all your time focused on garbage that don't even matter. But when you grow up a little bit in the Lord, you'll be able to say, well, I've got a pile over here and a pile over there. And the pile over here is for stuff that don't matter. And the pile over here is the stuff that matters. Demolish the argument. Stop spending all your time thinking and arguing over stuff that don't matter. And don't argue with the enemy about who you are in Christ anymore. Come on, you or your family. Go ahead and start confessing the word over your life. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Notice the plan. Everybody say the plan. It's not accidental that you've got to juggle these issues in these areas of your life. It's a plan. It's a setup. It's a pretension. It's a thought. It's an argument. The enemy is setting that thing up to hold you back. Why? See, God has got a great purpose and a plan for your life. He has got giftings for you. He's got spiritual and ministry giftings for you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your future. The word says in the book of Jeremiah that God knows the purpose and the plan that he has for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future, not to harm you, but to give you a future and to give you hope. You better believe that God would enable you, inspire you, and anoint you to expand his kingdom by giving you the ability to be a great witness for Jesus Christ. But the enemy's got you set up. He's got you set up to be focused over here, dealing with this petty sin and this trash and this garbage and these arguments and these pretensions and all these little nitpicky things that get you off of track and off of your purpose and off of your ability to expand the kingdom of God and get you bound up in these sins and this garbage. What are you going to do about it? You're going to use your spiritual weapons. And you're going to demolish every argument, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Look what else. And we take captive. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Are y'all with me this morning? Pastor, you mean I've got to practice this? Yes. This is a spiritual discipline on how to finally get over the generational stuff. I talked to a man and his wife one day, and he couldn't keep a job. All he knew how to do was go from job to job, and his family struggled for years. And they'd move around looking for work. And I found out through talking to him that that's the way his daddy did. Well, it's just the way I was raised. We moved around a lot. Now, you know, I've got the same problem in my life. And so here we go. There's a spiritual setup in this man's life to rob him of the stability that God would have for him. And I remember asking him, are you ready to end that cycle and plant so that God can bless you? Yes, I'm ready. We prayed about it. He stayed in the church for a while. He was a musician. He stayed in the church for a while, but sooner or later, he gave up trying. And he ended up moving again. This is exactly what I'm talking about, church. Every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. These are generational pronouncements. They're oaths. They're swearings. And they're lies that contradict the truth of God's word. And it's up to you to get in faith, to fight these battles with spiritual weapons, with divine power. Not your own power, but with divine power. Amen. They're strongholds, they're arguments, pretensions, thoughts that defy what God says about you and your family. And in God's power, hear me out. We're almost done today. We're going to pray a special prayer today. But in God's power, you have authority over them. So that they will never hold you, never hold your family back again. Can y'all receive that today, guys? Understand it today. Acknowledge and confess. Reject and repent. Tear them down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now today, I hope that you're reflecting. Hope that you're reflecting on the issues that you may have inherited or picked up along the way. I certainly have dealt with mine over the years. And we all have some that we have to deal with. For some people, it's addiction. For some people, it's abuse, neglect. But today, I hope that you're reflecting upon the things in your life that you've got to juggle as a result of what you learned and what was said over you, the example set before you, and be ready to square off and defeat those issues today. So in closing today, we're going to practice this together with a prayer of faith and a faith-filled confession together. You guys ready to do this with me? We're going to say this together. I've asked Lucas to create a slide, and we're going to pronounce this together today. And I want y'all to stay seated today as we read this together. First of all, a prayer. Before we come to the altar and pray today, just say this with me. Now, you might want to take a picture of these statements so you can refer to them later or pray them again. Great simple statements today before we rejoice. Everybody out loud with me. One, two, three. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to reveal to my mind now all the sins of my ancestors that are being passed down through family lines. I want to be free from these influences and walk every day in my new identity as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God, thank God. Now let's fortify this with a faith-filled confession together this morning. Are y'all ready to do it? Yes, here we go. I reject and disown any and all generation iniquity and ancestral sin of my past. I renounce every curse and destroy every stronghold by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. As one who has now been delivered from darkness into God's light, I choose to believe that all the sins and iniquities of my past are confessed and I now stand forgiven and cleansed in Christ. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Come on, if y'all receive that today, clap and give God a good praise. Come on, stand up with me all over the room this morning.